Tom Halverstead is a scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca. The calendar flipped over to December, Tom, so that means I have to give you a call. I'm pretty reliable. Well, almost reliable anyway.
Mostly reliable. Actually, it's we're a little bit into December, so if you're as reliable as taxes, we could pay our taxes a little late and get by with it.
Yeah,
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it, but I wouldn't bet on that working.
Nope. Usually need that.
Yeah, November weather, a couple things that come to my mind is we had some really cold temperatures in there and, of course, dry.
Well, the month started out warm and still dry. You know, we'd been dry in September and October. November kind of started out that way, too. We had some record highs in the first few days of November. Then we saw our first half inch of rain that we hadn't seen since early September. So the ball kind of fell, and we started getting some moisture, and the middle of the month turned cold and wet. So for the total month, we were only 0.3 of a degree warmer than normal and just barely drier than normal, 1.84 inches compared to the normal is 1.89. So came pretty close to normal. It was our wettest month of the fall being September, October, November. And if you total them up, we were 5.8 inches short of precip for the fall months, our ninth driest fall on record. And we go back to 1915, so we've got over 100 years of record. Almost a degree warmer than normal, quite drier than normal for the fall. November sort of started to hint that maybe we're going to change that pattern and got us more towards normal in both temperature and precip.
I remember we were talking in October when we just started November, and you said if we got less than a half an inch, it would be the driest fall ever. We got our half an inch and a little bit more then.
Yep, if we could have, and I really didn't want to see that, but I said if we do that, it turned out there was, you know, some issues. A lot of people, tillage was a little bit tough with not much moisture in the soil, but most people got it done, and now we did get that. I think at least the top foot is fairly decent with moisture, and we'll see what happens in the spring for the rest of the profile.
My thoughts on it being cold is I kind of forgot about those really early month warm temperatures. We had everything done, and I was hoping to have a neighbor get some tiling done, and all at once it got so cold, and we had frost there toward the middle of the month and kind of shut down the opportunity early this year.
Yeah, I think it did kind of catch a few people. Had it been a fall when we still had crops to get out and tillage to get done, that middle of the month weather would have been a real headache, but most people had everything done, and that rain, and we had about a week where it snowed a little bit every day, totaled about 6 inches on the week, and that kind of brought everything to a halt.
You mentioned the top foot. We're in a little better shape, so maybe we don't need to be too concerned all winter about having enough moisture to germinate the next crop?
I think we certainly don't need to worry about that, unless you're a person who likes to be anxious and likes to
worry about
something.
People
are very pessimistic and like to have something to worry about. I remember an old-timer here said, some people just aren't happy unless they have something to complain about. But I wouldn't be complaining about that just yet.
Well, somebody has also said it's kind of nice to go into the spring when the snow starts to melt and have some reserve capacity to soak up some extra moisture, because somebody keeps saying that we always have to wait for soils to dry out anyway.
That is the one thing that in the spring of the year we wait more for than anything is soils to be fit to be worked. Genetics has changed. Boy, when soil's ready to go, corn can be planted. We don't really worry a lot about letting the soil get to 50 degrees before we plant corn, because we have really strong genetics and it's the middle of April and soils are in good shape, we can plant corn.
That's my rule of thumb. 15th of April, if the soils are fit, I don't pay any attention to the soil temperature. I do kind of watch the forecast for cold inhibition and some really cold rain, but other than that, we don't pay much attention to soil temperature anymore.
No, we pay more attention to soil conditions than we do temperature. And I think you're right. If the forecast says the temperature is going to nosedive and it's going to be super cold for a whole week, there's no sense to getting out there. But we do have, and our planting date this year again, we did trials that show we've got up till the middle of May to plant corn, so we don't have to get all fired up to get it all in the first few days of April and try to get done. So we've got some time there.
Do you take moisture holding capacity percentages of the soil? You used to do that, didn't you, Tom?
We used to do that every twice a month. Now they've gone to an automated system. See, it used to be they'd have to get a probe out there and probe down 5 feet, dry those samples. Now we've got automated soil moisture sensors down there. But what I haven't got from the soils department is how that correlates to inches of water in the top 5 feet. That was always something I could get my head around.
Yeah,
we know our soils, and we have some of the most water-holding capacity soils in the world. In the top 5 feet, we hold like 11 inches of moisture. That's really good. Some of the sandy soils and a lot of the crop-producing areas, they can only hold 4 or 5 inches. So we're good there. And then I would say, okay, we can hold 11. There's 8 in there. You know, 75% of field capacity, something like that. Now they give me a percent moisture, and I haven't really been able to. They say they need to really work on some algorithms to convert that to what is in inches, and it involves bulk density, and it involves a lot more than I have. But fortunately, Lamberton still does that. Their last sample was the first of the month, and they can only do this up until freeze-up. So Lamberton, their soils don't hold quite as much as we do. They probably hold maybe 9 or 10 inches, but they show on November 1st they had less than 4, so they're probably at less than 50% of field capacity. Probably room for 4 or 5 inches that we can add, and I would guess we're probably in that same area. We maybe got a little more through the summer. Lamberton was a little bit drier, but to be honest with you, if you can tell me on April 1st that our soils can hold 2-3 inches of water, I think that's a good way to look at it, because we're likely to get 2 to 3 inches of rain, and if we got some place to put that instead of having to wait for it to evaporate, I think we're in a better situation.
All right, changing gears, Tom, your passion has been weeds and weed control. What were your thoughts overall at how farmers controlled water hemp and giant ragweed this last year?
My thoughts this year were we've done a very good job on water hemp. I think lamb's quarters, giant ragweed, we've figured some things out. There's still a few areas that something went wrong, but I know most of our growers in soybeans are saying, I need something with some soil activity out there, usually a group 15 to start. I need to be on, because glyphosate isn't going to control my water hemp anymore, so I need something with some residual and maybe even a post-emergence that's effective. I think we've done a very good job. We do have a new issue out there, volunteer corn, and a lot of our soybean acreage now is either dicamba tolerant or 2,4-D tolerant. And we've learned that there's very good volunteer corn herbicides out there, Assure, Select, Fusion, Post. They don't play very well with the growth regulators, both dicamba and 2,4-D. So we can't just throw in 4 ounces of Assure and say, okay, that's going to take care of your volunteer corn. We were doing that for quite a while in Roundup Ready soybeans and picking up Roundup Ready corn, just add a little Assure. So that's going to be something we're going to have to figure out. We need to focus on what the corn can tolerate. If it's Roundup Ready, conventional, Liberty Link, that makes a difference. And then what are we mixing our volunteer corn herbicide with? We need to pay attention to that. So that's relatively new this year.
Now, I've got 2 years of experience with, I used a generic clarithodum or something like that. 2 years ago, I used 6 ounces, which was the rate my agronomist recommended. One afternoon I sprayed, I got it perfectly. The next afternoon I sprayed, I didn't get it. So then this last year, I doubled the rate and I got the corn.
Well, that's, you might have been talking about clethodim.
Yep, that's it, yeah.
That's one of the products that's been pretty popular for controlling volunteer corn, and that is one of the things you can do. We can up the rate. Volunteer corn has been super sensitive to a lot of those, and we've been getting by with some very low rates. But now one of the tactics that might be available is go more towards the maximum label rate of the product, or what I tell people, and if they can, the best way to do it is put it on alone, make a special pass just for volunteer corn. A lot of people don't like to do that, but a lot of people do their own spraying and they don't mind. They say, oh, I'll do that. That's not a problem. So they can separate it by a day or two and get good control with that lower rate. Depends on your situation.
The other thing that was a game changer for me, 2 years in a row, I've had fantastic results. The group 15 early, come back with my Enlist later on in June, and put in another group 15, and that has made the difference a day and night.
Yep, we've learned that we need to, a lot of our modern programs we've been using don't really have a lot of soil residual. Glyphosate has none. Most of the growth regulators in soybeans don't have much, maybe a couple weeks out of dicamba, but we've been used to adding something with soil activity to pick that up through, because we've learned that water hemp can germinate well into August, so it's nice to have something that keeps that down.
Tom Halverstedt, scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca.